Hey there, and welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast, serving up stories and knowledge on Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. This is what's hot in Dynamics. You're now joining your hosts, Ashley Steiner and Merlin Schweiger.
Today, customer journeys, right?
Customer journeys, specifically, yeah, customer journey orchestration, because I'd like to know more about it. I've played with it a little bit. It looks cool. But you're the marketing expert, so teach me, oh wise one.
Oh my God. You're so funny. So, yes, I don't know if we talked about, we've talked about marketing just briefly. I'd say we did like a brief overview. It's probably been like a year, well, maybe longer.
So it's, you know, a totally different product now.
Yeah, well, slightly, not actually not much. More AI stuff, to be honest, than anything else. Customer journeys, I was really excited, is I would say kind of like the base of marketing. I know everyone thinks of like emails and things like that, but you can't actually do anything in marketing without a customer journey. So how you send an email is with a customer journey. How do you intake information? Customer journey, things like that. So, I'm going to speak mostly to outbound marketing rather than real-time marketing, just because I would say that that's probably what most people are using at this point still. Mm-hmm. And real-time marketing is changing so often that by the time this releases, it probably won't even be, you know, relevant anymore or correct. So, So from an outbound perspective, I mean, customer journeys is how you get your marketing information or materials out to people. It automates that marketing process for you. So if you think of like an, I don't want to say old school, but like one of those original marketing automation tools like a Pardot or Marketo, you always think about like how you put people into a journey and like give them the information when you want to based on their actions. That's really all a customer journey is. So you send an email, did they open it? Yes or no? Okay, if they didn't, then do this. Or if they did, you know, send them on a different path, things like that. A customer journey can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. So it can have one step. Hey, send an email to this one group of people. Or it could have like 55 steps that lasts over 2 years. So customer journeys is kind of, it's everything, but like it could be simple, it could be difficult. Depends.
Seems reasonable. So from a like starting perspective, like how do you want to plan out the journey? Because the first thing that comes to my mind with your, you know, 55 steps over 2 years example is like, well, what if I change my mind in the middle and I decide that I want to send them that way instead of this way, but they're already on the journey, like How much advanced planning do I need to have and how stuck in that am I?
Yeah, so really good question. And I'm so glad you asked after October, because in wave two of 2022, for in case people are listening to this in the future, you can now edit a live customer journey. So what happens is everything in marketing, you make it live. Like you have a draft status, but it can't actually be used or made they have a live status. That means it's out there in the world for people to see. You can't send an email unless it's live, all of that. So a live customer journey means that people are in the process of the journey. And now you can edit it without taking it down. Because if you took it down and made it unlive, whatever, if you put it back into a draft status, yeah, a dead customer journey before you resuscitate it and bring it back to life, it would start everyone over. So then you'd have to like just pick up where, do you know what I mean? So you'd have to, have to figure out where people are and then probably create a new journey or just be like, oh, this one's over because I changed my mind. And yeah, so now you can edit it while it's live in progress. Now, to the extent of what you can change, like, can you change something that's already happened? I don't know. Like if somebody opened it. Yeah. But like in your example, you had said like, I sent them down this path, but now I want to send them down this path. Like, I think you can only change that for future events, not for past events.
I mean, I think that makes sense. I guess I was thinking, like, you know, if I've got a 10 email, like, campaign that I was planning to send, and then I'm like, actually, I want to change 9 and 10 for anybody who's still before 9 and 10. Like, can I do that? Can I send them my new versions of 9 and 10, or could I send them to 8A if they click something else or something?
Like right. That? Yeah. So I agree. I think that you can do future events, like your example. But you don't have to just send emails. You can do, there are all sorts of actions. I mean, like, there's different pieces to a customer journey, or just maybe it's easier to just call it a journey at this point. There's like different things. Obviously you can send emails, you can create records, you can like create a lead or create a sales activity. So if somebody opens up 4 emails in a row, hey, let's create an appointment for somebody to call them, or a sales call or something. You can also intake information to start a customer journey. So if somebody fills out a form on your website, you can start a journey for them based on that. So it doesn't have to be just like a list of people in your system. The biggest change is probably the terminology of marketing lists to segments. So you start your journeys with a segment, which everyone's like, oh, great. So I have a marketing list I can send to. Well, you don't. Yes, but no. Like, you have to put those people like, oh, I want to pull in everyone into this segment that's also related to this marketing list.
Okay.
Yeah. So which is fine, right? Because you might have all these marketing lists, and then you can just build a segment for like multiple marketing lists or just one. But it's just like the nomenclature, is that the right word? Like the link, you know, like how people refer to it. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to send a button, you know, have a button and push to this marketing list. You have to like build the segment in order to, obviously you can have, segments that are dynamic or static. So as people get added to that marketing list, you know, things like that, I just think it's important to always make sure that people don't just think that like, oh, cause I have a marketing list, something happens.
To that point about the dynamic list. So I'm under the assumption that if I have a journey that's like, you know, take somebody through these 5 steps, if it's a dynamic sort of segment based on, I don't know, like an opportunity gets created or they fill out a form on the website or whatever, everybody's sort of in their own spot along that journey path, right? Yep. So like everybody's kind of like, I'm in my lane.
Yep. And then you can even track where people are. So like at each stage, you can click in and have, you have tons of analytics. One of the coolest things about marketing, in my opinion, is the analytics, because nothing, I shouldn't say it like that, nothing really lives in marketing. Like all of your email opens, your clicks, like all of that stuff lives in a separate database, which means that you personally can't use any of the out of the box marketing reporting. They have some stuff, but you mostly have to use Power BI, which means that it's prettier and cooler to look at. But because it's not stored in Dynamics as a record, the reporting is actually a lot cleaner. So you can go in and see like where specific people are in each stage. You can see who's ended the whole journey. I don't think you can like move people around, like skip them to different steps and stuff, but you can see where people are. You can also see what journeys a person is in. So if I was a salesperson and I opened up a contact, I'd want to know if they're in a journey, and if they're in multiple, you'll see all the ones that they're in and what stage they're in of that journey.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. And actually I kind of like the fact that it doesn't store all of that data like directly in CRM. Like,
think of the storage.
Yeah, I've encountered multiple customers that have used some of our legacy ISV marketing friends,
which are great tools,
very nice, I mean, products, and I don't want to besmirch them.
I think it depends on your needs. Yes. Nothing bad about those partners. I think it 100% depends on what your marketing needs are.
Yeah. And also if you are able to like clean data out after you're done with it, because as I said, I've seen lots of customers were like, oh, we have like all of these email clicks and all of these website visits and all of this stuff. And it's all just like activity data in our CRM system. And eventually, like, performance just starts to tank because it's, like, churning through all of this data and your storage space is huge and that's costing you extra money. And it's like, yeah, it might just be more convenient if all of that was, like, sitting out in a blob in Azure somewhere where it's cheaper to store. So it's, I guess I'm happy that marketing does that.
Yeah. I mean, but only marketing could, right? Like, I don't think those other ISVs would have that ability. No. But like I said, I think that, you know, the, I mean, it depends on your needs. Marketing still to this day, I would say, is an enterprise type system. If you're looking, if you're a smaller, like small to medium business, it's not going to, it's going to be too big for your needs. Honestly, the cost of it probably is too great to even justify. Yeah. The where I think marketing, and we're going down a marketing path, but I mean, I would say the thing that really separates it is the events portal. And so if you think about it, you can even do stuff with your events with a customer journey. So like if they, so if somebody, registers for an event, you can send them down a different journey. Or if somebody visits the registration page, now we're talking a little bit more real-time marketing, then you could put them onto a journey, things like that. So, so you have, and you can, you know, you can have custom actions as well, like in a text message or pop-up notifications. I mean, like, you know, if you have an app and you want to send a pop-up notification, I mean, there's all sorts of custom stuff you can do as well with customer journeys.
Yeah. And I did notice in just my little, like, playing around with it, that I could essentially set up like almost a new plugin on the CRM side to be like, oh, like if a new opportunity is created or when this field changes, like, and it changes to active, like now I can trigger a whole journey. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is like you said, people will get added in over time too, right? So if you like want to send this one campaign to everybody who's in the state of Wisconsin, if you add a new person to Wisconsin, they'll just automatically fall in. One of the other things that I really like is you can choose, they call it like their automated scheduler, which means that you don't have to like send, because if you think of a journey 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was working with automation, it's like, all right, I want to send this email at Monday at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. for me is different than somebody in Seattle. It's different than someone in China. I mean, who knows who's on your marketing list, right? And so what you can do is you can actually do an automated scheduler where it will pick like the time that they're most likely to open emails. So this is where Microsoft gets a little creepy and they can actually go in and read some of your data. And every person has a different time that they're most likely to open your emails. And so that obviously out of the, like, you won't have that originally. You'll have to send some emails over time, choose different times and things like that. But Microsoft has their own AI features where they can get some of that anyways. and then it'll send to that person. So like my best open time might be 7 p.m. whereas yours might be 11 a.m. because you're checking right before you go to lunch or something. And I'm checking after work. I mean, everyone's different, right? You can also send things with clicks based on when they're most likely going to click an email versus just open an email. Like it's really fancy. And, there's a lot in the automated schedule and they're continuing to build that up. It's also just looks really pretty. Like it has like the whole week and then the times of the day. And then it's like red and green where like they're most likely going to open an email and stuff. It's really cool. Analytics in marketing are just pretty. Like they're what you wish dashboards looked like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned you can text as part of a journey. Is that, I feel like I kept hearing that like texting was coming out of the box, but it wasn't. And then it was, but then it didn't or something. Like, do you know if it's there out of the box now, or do you still need like a separate provider? Or if you don't know the answer, that's
fine. I should have been prepared for this. I know that Twilio has like an integration with marketing. I'm actually just going to look this up real quick. Because I do know that you can, I think you have to have a Twilio account in order to mix them together, like to have like the actual send. But it's a channel, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, Never mind. Now you can use Azure Communication Services.
Oh.
All right, so Teams, I remember this when they made the change with Teams, they're technically a telephone provider now, Microsoft is. Mm-hmm. So they're using that instead of having to integrate with Twilio. Oh. But you could also use, if you already have Twilio, sure, you could integrate it. And that is only available with the real-time marketing, not outbound marketing.
Okay. Noted. You've answered all of my questions about this.
Yeah. I mean, so when you think about the real-time marketing side of it, it gets more complex. Outbound is easy. Hey, I want to send this, this, and this at this times, and you set it up and it goes. When you think about it from the real-time perspective, you're basing it on people's interactions. So if people aren't making that interaction, then they're never going to get anything. So that's where you need to be like strategic about, okay, do I put them on this outbound marketing and then their outbound journey, and then they're getting all of this regardless. But then if they also take all these steps, so because of this email in the outbound, they go to visit my website. Well, now I send them a text message. You've got to really be strategic about what's too much. And if you're putting people into multiple journeys between the outbound and the real time. And so I have to like in big notes, like for today, for this conversation, I put plan. Like you cannot spend too much time really thinking about what people's interaction is going to be like with you from a marketing perspective if you do create a bunch of journeys, because their actions in an outbound could affect your real time. And so you really need to be thoughtful of like how people are getting content, because that's the quickest way to get unsubscribes is if you're sending people too much stuff. So yeah, I think that even just mapping it out, like I remember I used to draw them out. Like I'd just grab a whiteboard and like, again, this is 10 years ago when, you know, you had just like send these emails at this time, send this business case and then this business case and then this business case and, or white paper or whatever. And, I used to draw it on the whiteboard. Like, okay, if they get these emails, these are the event emails they're going to get, you know, regardless, things like that. So I would definitely make sure, unless you're Target or Amazon, because I don't think I could get enough Target. Like, I don't think there's too much Target email, such a thing. Really be careful.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Draw it out.
Yeah. You can export it too. So you can build your flow and then export it, or your journey and then export it and like see how it all maps up and stuff. So.
Oh, that's handy. Mm-hmm. Then I could print it and I could tape it up and draw on it.
Speaking of Stranger Things, that makes me think of when Will was drawing like the things all over his house.
Oh yeah.
In like season 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was season 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Back when it was still good.
I'd argue it's still good.
It's a different kind of good though. Like the old one.
Yeah.
Older seasons.
Yeah. It's funny to look at the stars. Sorry,
for those of you
now.
Like those of you who are wondering, we were talking about Stranger Things off camera, so
I mean, as you do, it just comes up.
Yeah. My nephew actually had like lines of paper like drawn and had them up around his room, and I was like, what in the Stranger Things is this? He was like 4. Like there's no way
sure.
I was like, what's the irony? Like that's insane.
Maybe he could sense the upside down, who knows?
That's not funny.
And on that bombshell.
Yeah, anything else, Merlin? Anything else you wanted to ask or say? Or
no, I mean, I think I am excited personally to dig more into the marketing tool and look more into what the journeys can do.
It's really big.
So
take it piece by piece.
This was a great introductory primer for me. Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah. Oh, the last thing I wanted to say. Oh my gosh, I had this also in really big caps. You cannot use segments on anything other than contacts.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I was going to ask if I could do that.
Yeah. So, they say that you can market to accounts, but then it just pulls in all the contacts for the account, which who wants to do that? Sure. But, like, you can't use a journey on leads.
Yeah.
You have to have a contact on the lead in order to use them in a journey.
Which I think is fine. I think it just sort of changes my perspective on it.
Well, I think that's why enterprise makes sense for this, because I could see mm-hmm. enterprise companies moving more in that direction and being okay with the data and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a last minute thought. I got totally distracted by the Stranger Things.
It's a good last minute thought. It's a good last minute thought. You can only market to contacts. So mm-hmm. don't try to market to leads. It won't work.
Yep. Use one of those other ISV tools.
Yes. One of those other ISV tools, which do great things. Just purge your data when you're done with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
I don't think so. Thanks.
Okay. I think we should do more marketing topics. Break it up.
Let's do it.
Okay. We'll
make a whole series.
Sweet. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast. For additional content and previous episodes, check out our website at dynamicshotdish.com, follow us on Twitter at dynamicshotdish, and subscribe to our podcast for notifications. Thanks. See you next time.